Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
He invested $5 million into your fund.
Six.
$6 million into your fund. Talk about how that relationship transpired and his belief in you.
Yeah, I mean, again, probably have to ask him. I don't want to speak for him, but I'll tell you what happened. I grew up in Dallas, so I've known about Mark for 20 years. And I also watched Shark Tank when I was, broke and just always pretended I would pretend I was a fifth shark or whatever. So just really admired him. And Twitter at the time, before it was X, they asked us to speak on a panel, like on a like fireside together at South by Southwest, because we both use Twitter in an interesting way. So that was 2019. We went out and I was toe to toe with him. You know, he doesn't like anybody to kiss his ass. Like he likes to talk to you like normal. And that's how we roll. And, you know, he got to meet my family. He's very kind to them. And so after it went really well, I said, hey, will you invest in my fund? And he said, no. And he said, I don't like to invest in other people's funds for the most part, because I like to invest directly into companies, having too much fun doing that. So I said, cool. You know, I've had multiple no's. So I was very respectful to him. A few weeks later, there was an article that came out in like Silicon Valley Press, whatever, TechCrunch, or it wasn't TechCrunch, it was Axios actually. And it said, it had like a really unflattering picture of me, as they do. And it said that my fund had failed because I wasn't able to raise it yet, raise this certain fund I was raising. So $36 million fund that I went out to raise, and I hadn't raised it yet. And then, so for some reason, they just on this day decided to write that. And that article, it didn't really accuse me of anything. It just said that I was a failure and that people had lifted me too high, said I was too good before they should have. And because of that article, a couple of our main LPs pulled out because they were like, what's going on back there? And I'm like, there's literally nothing. I have the DM of the guy who wrote me, asked me about this, and he was so nice to me, but I didn't know he was going to write that. So I didn't do anything. Mark wrote to me. He sent me a DM and he said, I saw the article and he said, here's $1 million. So you can just do whatever you need to do, like make whatever investment you want to make. And he said, what we need to do is make you independently wealthy so you don't have to deal with this shit. Mm. And I was like, you are right. You're right. You are correct. And I appreciated him. Not only did he do that, he said, I said, okay, you want to do like a press release? What? He's like, no, nobody needs to know this. It's cool. You do whatever you want. If you want a press release, do it. If you don't, don't. He wasn't trying to get the accolades. And top of that, usually when you have a fund, especially a joint venture like that, or all the funds, you have 2 and 20, it's called. So 2% management fee that you get every year. This is like standard. It could be varied. But you get 2% management fee and then 20% carry, which is carried interest, short for carried interest, which is the profits you make off of your winnings. That's really standard. He said management fee, whatever, we'll get you operated, but we'll give you 30% profit share. Because this is a true JV. And I mean, he offered that and I just couldn't believe it because it's the kind of management fee that Andreessen Horowitz can command because it's so high. So I just thought that was a lot of integrity on his part. And it was almost like that was the thing that told me this isn't charity. I was like, this is actually him just like, I don't know. It was just really interesting. So then a year or some months later, George Floyd was murdered. And I just got an email from Mark. Of course, I had been talking the whole year. We talk about deals. We talk about whatever. I got an email from him. And it just said, the subject said, do you want to do more? Opened up the email. It said, I'm going to be transferring $5 million into our JV. So he was livid about George Floyd's murder and the way that it was handled. And he wanted... That was his way of acting. That was one of his ways of acting because he knew I was, we were already there. We had the infrastructure to handle that. And let me be real clear. Like Marcus, he's very blunt. So he doesn't sit around. We don't sit around and giggle. Like we don't sit around and he's like, oh, you're doing such a great job. He's like, where is the path to me getting an ROI on this return on investment, right? He says that he's very specific. He treats me like he treats every other investment, which is I'm investing in you so you can give me money back. It's not a charity, right? He just makes sure that he spends his dollars the way he wants the world to be. Like he wants to put his dollars a certain way. So I asked him after that, first of all, I do want to do a press release. He said, okay, we can do a press release only if you go through this a woman of color's very indie publication that I invested in. That's the only way. I don't want you to go to TechCrunch or anybody else, USA Today, which I could have. Which again, one more step of like, oh, that's just really doing it.
It's intentional,
right? Because honestly, I know $6 million is a lot of money. But Mark could have, if he wanted to, he could have like used that, been on every, like mentioned it every time he had an interview. And he would have made $6 million back in some sort of marketing, something that would have come back to him. I just think he really just wanted to do it. So finally I asked him why he did it. And he said, you're in rooms I'll never be in. So it's just the right play for me. And I, you know, I get courtside. I mean, I buy courtside seats and to Mavericks. That's the only one because I love Mavericks now. I used to not know who Luka Doncic was. So there's like a podcast episode from like 2.5 years ago where we're talking about, with Mark talking about it. And he's like, do you know? I was like, I don't know who that is. Wow. So I started watching after so many years. I know people are killing me right now. And I'm obsessed now. So like I'm
following the team.
Oh yeah.
Kyrie and all that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And I'm always, you know, I'm courtside or get a suite or whatever. And anytime I see Mark, it's all good. My brother just ran into him at the NBA. We were there. I just was in a hotel room at the NBA All-Star game. And, you know, there's love for my brother and my mom. And he's just really kind. And there's most of the companies he's invested in, he's never met the person. So for him to like, 4, 5, 6 times make an effort to come over and hug me and just like say how you doing, in addition to all the emails that we do, I just really appreciate that. I'm not intimidated by him, and I argue with him quite a bit because I don't think he's right about a lot of the stuff he says to me. But you know, when someone argues with you and they do it respectfully, like you can tell, like it's like a fair fight, you know, especially someone who has a little bit more power than you do. That's what it is.
So what's the roadmap to, you said, you know, getting to where you want to go? Is it more press? Is it just bigger checks from wealthier investors? Are you targeting athletes? I know you go to the games now. So like what's the roadmap to get to that $100 million, $300 million, whatever your goal is to break that ceiling?
Yeah, we have been in great conversations with major banks, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Bank of America. Bank of America is already an investor of ours. Again, I'll say it one more time, I get into arguments with them. So that's part of it, right? But I think Bank of America kind of broke the mold for us by investing 7 figures, because then Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and SVB and the rest of them can, you know, understand what it is. So I think it's going to be that. I also think it's going to be a lot of family offices. So, you know, I think that that's where we play best because it isn't super traditional.
Can you talk about that? So a lot of people, even some of the conversations we've been having over the past 6 to 12 months, the words family offices have come up in conversation. But for a lot of the population, they have no idea what that is. Can you just break that down?
Family office is essentially like a fund within a family or a group of families. It's treated as a company or an entity, a funding entity. And so you might have like Jay-Z, for instance, he's making investments out of his venture fund. And that's kind of specific, but he has people working there and it's very specific LPs are in. But he probably also has the Jay-Z and Beyonce family office where they make their own investments. And they have somebody, at least one person, if not 7 people, running the numbers on that and treating it. And it's just your own allocation. Like, for instance, one of my major goals in it, you know, maybe by the time I'm 45, I only have a couple of years, is to have a family office. It's different from angel investing because we're talking usually millions of dollars. You can't have a family office with like $500K. Talking millions of dollars, if not tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, and you're investing directly out of that, and it's productized and has organization around it. And so those are the reason we don't know about them is because they're real stealth. They're on purpose. They're meant to be, you know, if somebody knew that a certain, it doesn't have to be like a celebrity, if anybody, you have a family office that can deploy $50 million a year or $20 million a year, they're going to be hounded because they don't have that shield of this is an entity, a business over here. It's like family office sounds very intimate and accessible. So they don't want it to be. So they're not going to put up a website, most likely. They're not going to do that. And what a lot of times a family office is too, is like they'll realize that they can only do so much as a philanthropist. You know, they can only move the needle so much. But if they, instead of putting, or in addition to putting their money as, you know, into charity, if they put it into companies it can be evergreen. So if a family has, you know, a big family has $100 million that they want to spend over time, and they're used to putting $80 million of that into charity, that goes away because it's spent. And they just, and it just kind of goes away. They have to refill the coffers. But if they have a family office that's making a return on investment over 5, 7, 15 years, they never have to replenish that if they play it right. So that's what they're going after. Mm. And a lot of times you'll see these rich families combine their family offices so that it's one group, like 5 to 10 people who are hired by them to run 4, 5, 10 family offices at once.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.